Hello and welcome to episode, believe it or not, 10 now of Nick and Frank Fighting Takes. Nick, before we really get into the intro, I just want to ask you how your day's going today.
It's going well, you know. We're on 10.
We're on 10.
We're going to do 10 more.
We're going to do dozens more. Get that Joe Rogan status like we were talking about last show. But today's show, we have a lot to talk about. UFC Fight Night tomorrow, Woodley versus Burns. Henry Cejudo retiring, he's off the rankings now, vacated his title. John Jones versus Dana White is the next fight that's taking place. Get ready for that. And then Conor McGregor is fighting everybody. So we have a lot to talk about today, so let's get right into it. All right, Nick, so let's just get right into it. Let's start with Woodley Burns. It's about the only real interesting fight. There's one other ranked heavyweight bout on this card, but a lot of filler fights. So further, the welterweight main event, Tyron Woodley versus Gilbert Burns. How do you see it playing out?
I mean, this was the only interesting fight. We're not saying there's not... This is going to be some great competition, and it's still going to be entertaining, but, I mean, these are the two well-known guys, and everybody else is so-so.
Yep.
For this fight, I have to say, I have to believe Woodley's going to get back up on that horse. I like Burns. I mean, he did shut Damian Maia down, and we didn't see Woodley do that.
The
most boring fight. But I believe Woodley's getting back on his high horse. I believe that he learned from Usman. I think he learned, and he'll be the better fighter for it. I think his hands will be loose finally. I mean, it will be a striking battle, no doubt. But I believe Woodley knocks him, I would say, second round.
Wow. All right. I mean, I think Tyron Woodley's too caught up in his rapping career that Gilbert Burns is going to come out and knock him out. We're gonna have a different agreements with this one. I'm going Gilbert Burns third round TKO punches. He's gonna win for his sixth straight win. His last loss was 2018 to Dan Hooker. And Gilbert Burns, I believe he wins this fight, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. But I think he'll get a he's fighting the number one contended guy. So if he gets this win, maybe get up in the welterweight championship contention. But I see, like you said, I see these two guys trading and going for haymakers. And I think Gilbert Burns survives the early Woodley push, tires him down a little bit, and then ultimately gets to finish in the third round. So how do you see this welterweight division really kind of going? It's sort of weird right now as Usman's the champion. And we all thought it was going to be Masvidal next, but now Masvidal Diaz might rematch. Woodley's facing Burns. Colby, your boy Colby, coming off the loss, doesn't have a fight yet. Leon Edwards can't really even get in the country yet. I think just now recently he's able to get in the country. So how do you see this playing out if Woodley wins? We'll start there. If Woodley wins, does he get the rematch next for the championship?
I think it's hard to say, but I did want to bring in one more thing about this Woodley-Burns fight and how they are fighting in the Contender Series octagon.
Oh, yeah.
Which is shorter than the regular octagon, so there's not a lot of room to run, so it should be action-packed. That's all I wanted to bring up here.
Yeah, because this is the first card back in Las Vegas ever since this whole coronavirus.
This welterweight division, it's tough. Do I think Woodley does? It matters how this plays out. Like, if it's a decision win, I don't think he gets the... We still don't know who Usman's going to fight next. I mean, we're hoping Masvidal.
Right.
But what happens if Diaz gets him on this one? There's just so many options now. But who I want to see Woodley fight next is, I mean, Edwards, obviously, but we don't know when he's going to prepare. I would like to see Covington, but, you know, everybody's wanted to see Covington fight his former teammates because, you know, he parted ways with that gym.
Yep.
In Jorge Masvidal.
America top team.
But I think if Woodley wins or if Burns wins, I think they fight Covington because they've both been asking for it. They both, well, everybody hates him.
Yeah.
Except me.
That's your MAGA boy.
Everybody hates him. I mean, there's just the amount of fights Covington's got is just wide open.
Yeah, no, seriously, pretty much anybody in the top six you can really make an argument for. But I'll be really disappointed looking at this welterweight division if we did never get to see Usman Masvidal, because Masvidal won Fighter of the Year last year, set the world on fire, knocking out Till, stopping Diaz, ending your boy Ben Askren's career, and I really wanted to see him fight for this championship. And I don't know really where we're going here. Usman goes on ESPN and says Masvidal is ducking and not signing the contract. And Masvidal comes back a week later and says Usman's not even accepting the bout agreement. It's like, I mean, I don't know if they're just trying to play chess to get a little bit more money, but come on, dudes. We're trying to see you brawl it. If that fight doesn't happen, though, I mean, like you touched on, seeing Covington versus Masvidal would be a lot of fun because there's real hatred there. And that'd be the winner of that fight gets bragging rights in the 305 down in Florida. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But going back to the fight a little bit, if Burns wins, I'd give him Covington. And if Woodley wins, like you said, depending on how they look, is obviously key. Whether it's a knockout or finish or it goes to the judges' scorecards. But either way, I mean, welterweight's stacked. I mean, 1 through 6 all can make a viable case that they should fight Usman next if the cards play out their way. So do you have any final thoughts on the fight or just this welterweight division?
What you just brought up with the Masvidal and Usman not agreeing, the bout agreements and all that, it's all about the value of the dollar. Which we'll learn about in the future of this episode, because yes. Money rules all, obviously.
Correct. So we'll kind of pivot a little bit over here to Triple C is 0C. If you go on to the UFC rankings page, he is off the men's pound for pound, where he was number 3. He is now on the bantamweight. That is empty now. He's off the rankings completely. So we talked about it last show that his manager said it was going to be a quick retirement, but now that he's officially off the page and Dana White and has made posts about it and Henry Cejudo himself has made posts about him being done, do you actually believe he is now done?
See, he might not be Triple C, but a C still there. He was an Olympic champion.
That's one true. C.
Henry Cejudo stands. I think UFC's, I mean, it's hard because, I mean, they didn't take Silva's name off right away. They did take Rousey's name off right away. For his name to go, I think UFC's doing this to, like, save face, almost. I think him retiring out of blue shocked them to a point. I mean, it's been a few weeks now, but I'm saying it shocked them. And they were like, maybe he's just saying this for more money, which he obviously was.
Yeah.
And I think they tried to do contracts. I think contracts went sour. So they said, you know, we'll take him off all of the UFC website.
Right.
And just pretend we've never heard of him.
We've never heard. I mean, I'm kind of on Henry Cejudo's side here. I mean, he has an argument to be one of the best martial artists ever. I mean, his only loss was his only loss in the UFC was to the Demetrius Johnson the first time, I think off the top of my head. Defended his belt every time. 2-division champion, like you said, Olympic wrestler. He's one of the guys you'd think he would market and push out a lot to the masses, but it didn't seem like the UFC did that a lot. Same with Stipe Miocic. You think he's another guy that they push a lot, but The UFC's kind of weird. They pick and choose their guys. It's like the Connors of the world, the John Joneses of the world, and everyone else is sort of just obviously a tier under them, but you know, they whatever their the contracts they get for the fights, Cejudo wasn't even, I don't even think, making $1 million a fight. So you hear Dana White said the retirement didn't really shock him, but it'll be interesting to see if he does come back. But I mean, either way, the belt's vacant now, and that leaves the UFC 250 and the whole bantamweight division in itself pretty much up for grabs. I have it pulled up here. UFC 250 has four total bantamweight bouts on that card. We'll talk about that on next week's show more specifically. But the Dana White and the UFC has said they're looking at a Peter Yan versus Jose Aldo for the championship. How do you see this whole bantamweight thing playing out? Do you end up seeing that fight happen? Obviously, Jose Aldo is coming off the loss. He technically did lose to Marlon, although I think majority of the people thought he won the fight. We watched that fight together. Well, I think we were all in agreement that we thought Aldo won and got robbed. But it's still the precedent that he technically did lose. So how would you give him a potential championship fight over a guard like Marlon Moraes? How do you see that whole bantamweight thing playing out?
It's tough because, I mean, if I would say this, if Henry Cejudo was still champion, then I could see. Because, I mean, Cejudo already beat Marlon. Right. So you want new competition.
And Aldo has a huge fan base.
Yes, for him getting a shot at an uncrowned title coming off a loss is difficult for me.
Yeah.
It's not like he's fighting someone who beat the other guy. He's fighting for the actual belt.
Right.
I think Peter Yan, Peter Yan.
He's my guy.
Deserves it.
He's my guy.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
But to see Aldo deserve, I mean, Aldo's a legend, no doubt. He held that featherweight title longer than anyone.
Right.
But
I think, I mean, with them just giving Cruz a title shot out of nowhere, I mean, I don't even think the UFC really cares anymore. They're just here to get people with eyes on the TV. I don't even know if they really care about fairness anymore. Because UFC 250, Sterling's fighting, Asuncao's fighting, Sanhagen's fighting. A lot of these top 10 guys are all going at it. And then they're going to give Peter Yan, who I think we both could agree, Peter Yan's deserving of a title shot. But it's just, I agree with you that Jose Aldo, it's just two straight losses. He lost his first fight in the division, so to had to have him just skip over everybody is kind of weird. But they already, like you said, they already had a planned fight before Corona. I think they had the Aldo Cejudo fight for July. I think that was it. But either way, now that it's vacant, it's obviously 250 next weekend is going to be huge for the whole division, as there's four fights. And there's going to be a lot of shaking around in this whole division. But I'm with you. I don't think it's really fair to all the other guys. I know Dana White mentioned that Aldo just has a huge Brazilian fan base. So for that, what that tells me is he just wants eyes on the TV and people to buy the pay-per-views more or less than being fair to other fighters. What do you think of that?
We are going back to the times where rankings don't matter. Soon they're going to take the rankings page off.
Right.
And you're just going to see top guys fight top guys.
Because like you saw with Dominic Cruz, didn't fight coming off a loss, didn't fight for years, and it gets an immediate title shot. It's just weird.
It's coming back. It's going to go to a times where if you're not talking, you have like some freak ability like Francis Ngannou, you're going to get less and less fights now. Because, I mean, rankings don't matter. It's all about name. It's about, we want to watch that guy?
Who can sell a fight?
Yeah.
That's what it's pretty much coming down to, so.
Like I said, it's a popularity contest at this point. In 2021, the rankings are just going to demolish. You're going to see.
Even now, I think they're just placeholders. They don't even really matter that much. Especially when you give guys like Cruz title shots and Aldo. I mean, we all know Aldo is a great champion for the featherweight. But, I mean, it's a different division, and he hasn't really made himself a name yet in the bantamweight division. But I think Dana White and the UFC are sort of on the line of they don't really care because they thought Aldo beat Moraes, which I agree with that he won the fight, but it's still the precedent that he technically did still lose the fight itself. So if you're Marlon, I mean, what else are you going to do? Because you technically won the fight, so you're just going to get passed over. So it's just a weird situation. We'll see a lot of the bantamweight division play out next Saturday, and we'll have that whole card previewed as they filled that card out, and it's looking like a really good card. So do you have any final thoughts on the bantamweight division and Henry Cejudo?
I mean, I hope Cejudo gets paid somewhere. I mean, I think I've heard news that he was seen in a wrestling arena, like I think it was All Elite Wrestling.
Quadruple C.
We might see it happen. Yeah, he was seen there with Mike Tyson.
Yep.
And I mean, hopefully he gets paid, man.
Yes.
He's deserving of it. He has the skill, and you know, he has strength, and people love it.
No, absolutely. And the next thing we wanted to touch on was John Jones is just is going at it with everybody. We all thought he was going to fight Francis Ngannou. That doesn't seem like it's going to happen now. Dana White's calling him out publicly on ESPN, saying he was asking for an exuberant amount of a raise. John Jones comes back out and says that's false. If you think that's true, release me out of my contract. What's just your take on this whole John Jones versus Dana White versus UFC situation going on?
It's a value of a dollar. That's what it is.
Yeah.
They both just want to make more money without paying the other guy. But I do think that we need to realize this John Jones getting released thing. He's going to keep asking for it. That could potentially happen.
Yeah.
And you know what's going to happen in the near future? We're going to see John Jones fight Mike Tyson. What? In the boxing ring.
Yeah, all right, you need to relax.
You heard it here first.
You need to relax.
He wants to get paid, and he wants to taste power. And that's the similarity between Tyson and Ngannou. They both hit like a truck. And we're going to see Tyson versus Jones, a great against a great. And I don't even like Jones.
I mean,
it'd be great when I see like a 50-year-old Tyson knock him on his ass.
I mean, I'm just shocked. Did not see this coming whatsoever, and I could not disagree more that will not happen. I'll make a live bet on show $1,000 that fight will never take place. Do you agree, yes or no?
Of course I don't.
Exactly.
Of course I agree that it's not going to happen, but I can dream.
This is true.
But go ahead.
All right, I'll go ahead. No!
Go ahead.
I mean, John Jones, like, I'm normally team player over team organization. Like, I believe in all sports, the players should dictate their contracts, and they have a right to get out of a contract if they ask for it. And John Jones made a really good point on his whole Twitter rant that he doesn't even make half of what Deontay Wilder makes. And Dana White himself has called John Jones one of the goats of the sport. And he's not even getting that much money. We all know McGregor gets paid the most. Obviously, he's the biggest name in the sport. But when you talk about goats in the sport, like we talked about last show, I mean, John Jones is most certainly one of them. And I think he should be compensated, rightfully so. He comes with a lot of baggage, but when he comes out there and actually fights, I mean, we all know what's happening. I mean, he's got one loss, but he didn't even lose the fight. Made Daniel Cormier cry on national TV. That in and of itself should give you a raise. Do you not agree to that?
I do agree, and I do think if he does get released, he'll get paid somewhere.
I hope he doesn't
get
released.
He will get his money.
No other organization is nowhere near the level of UFC. Bellator has a lot of really good fighters, but obviously it's not. We all know UFC is the king, though.
I don't think there's a chance it couldn't even be cage fighting. I think there's we saw other fighters go. I mean, we just talked about Cejudo going to that All Elite Wrestling. I don't know if that was a one-off or something.
Yeah.
But I can see John Jones taking the Ronda Rousey route, the Brock Lesnar route, and getting paid there. Because, I mean, they're getting paid millions.
No, right.
And Jones definitely could be a top guy. But I think Dana, because Dana's usually the top guy, he's the UFC. When you think UFC, you know Dana calls the shots. I think it's getting tougher when we go more and more into the future, how more and more people getting paid in different sports. I think Dana's going to – Connor's not going to be there forever.
No, right.
We need to start paying these other guys well so they can participate to their fullest potential.
Yeah, let's bring it back a little bit to the UFC. We talked about last week with potentially John Jones or Francis Ngannou. Now Dana White said that it's not happening, and Dana White's in favor of a John Jones versus Dominic Reyes rematch. Jan Błachowicz, his name was also thrown out there. So if you had a, if you're a bet man and you had a bet, what would you think John Jones' next fight would be? Would it be a move up to heavyweight, or would it be another trying to retain his light heavyweight championship?
The more we go into this, the more unlikely I think he's going to go to heavyweight. Just because he won't get paid the money he's gonna be asking for. I mean, in a different rival company, he could.
Yeah.
He could win all the belts. But in this company, you're not going to get the money you're paid for. And I think he's just going to fight Reyes again in the distant fall, early winter.
Yeah, all right. We'll move on here a little bit. There was... some noise in the women's strawweight division. Champion Willie Zhang is kind of called out Rose Namajunas, Thug Rose, as her potential fight. She wants to try to defend her belt again. I think that would be a phenomenal fight. We all know Willie Zhang and Joanna's fight was probably going to be one of the fight of the years, if not the fight of the year. So how excited would you be for a Willie Zhang versus Thug Rose type championship fight?
It won't be exciting, but I know more people are going to... Well, it's difficult to say because, I mean, Thug Rose, I mean, she destroyed the Boogie Woman. But, I mean, against Jessica Andrade, she looked good until she fell on her head.
Yes.
And I think they want to set that up more. I know Willie Zhang's going to call out different people, but we could see her against... If it matters who wins that fight between right. Thug Rose and Jessica Andrade.
No, absolutely.
And the winner of that definitely deserves a shot. Joanna, even though as much as I love her, you know, I just love the whole Alpha team.
She took the L, though. Don't forget. Don't forget, she took the L.
She did take the L, but it was... one of the best women's fights I've ever seen.
No, it was the best women's fight ever.
It's like top five of my fights all time, I would say.
Oh,
that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was just, like, we were texting that whole card that night, and we just stopped texting because we were just in awe of this fight that was going on. We didn't want to look away. So definitely down the line, if there was a rematch between Zhang and Joanna, definitely sign me up for that. But obviously you want to get... new girls in there, and the strawweight division is really good compared to the other flyweight, where Shevchenko's the champion. I think Willie Zhang has a bunch of different opponents she could face in the future. Tatiana Suarez, like you said, Jessica Andrade versus Thug Rose. So a lot of really good fighters in that whole strawweight division, and I would be really excited for a Willie Zhang versus Thug Rose fight. I think it could be another potential fight of the year. They both just stand there and trade. So any other fight like Zhang versus Joanna, sign me up for. Then do you have any final thoughts on the women's strawweight division?
I think it's the most exciting it's ever been. I mean, we did have Joanna just destroying people until she got stopped. And now we have an exciting division. Yep. I would say even... go to say it's the most exciting out of all the women's divisions, just because, I mean, you have two dominant powerhouses controlling the rest of the division. Amanda Nunes and
Shevchenko.
Valentina Shevchenko.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping to see a third fight. We don't know.
I mean, because
that may never happen.
Because we both thought Shevchenko won the second one.
Yeah.
But Nunes is up 2-0 against Shevchenko, and it's really hard to kind of sell a third fight when the first two wasn't split and it's 2-0 somebody else. So hopefully down the line that would really be a really good fight. But I think the women's division, strawweight division, is definitely the most exciting out of all of them, and cannot wait to see what happens in that division. But to the biggest name in the sport, Conor McGregor is just about to fight everybody. First, he said he was going to accept a fight, a super fight, a catchweight at 176 pounds versus Anderson Silva, two of the sports goats. He said that he accepts. So before we get too deep, we'll start with that. Just your thoughts when you saw it, and obviously it's probably never going to happen, but I guess I will say if it was to happen, what would you think about it?
Silva's too old, man.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to get enough. He doesn't want to get a beating. That's what. If it was a, like, I mean, I think his last few fights, he didn't fight, like, he didn't go out fighting, like, GSP, John Jones. He went to fight middle carders and got his behind whooped. And I just don't want to see Silva come back and take a beating. I mean, we saw what happened when BJ Penn came back and got destroyed. I would even put Faber in there because, I mean, even though Jan's a monster, right, he got destroyed. I don't want to see Silva get a beating. I think McGregor's trying to milk this thing for all it's worth. We're going to see him call out GSP.
Everybody.
We're going to see him call Ronda Rousey. Ronda, fight me. We'll make so much money. We're just going to see him call out everyone. We're going to see him, Canelo, Triple G,
Floyd again.
Fury.
Floyd again.
Robert Downey Jr. He just wants all the cash.
You know, Iron Man yeah, would whoop that ass. Believe that. Yeah. But I mean, and then another fight that was talked about with McGregor, a more realistic fight, but not even really realistic. It was just shut down by Dana White. Conor McGregor trying to fight for the welterweight 170-pound belt, and if he was to get that fight and win, he would be the first ever triple champ in the UFC between featherweight, lightweight, and welterweight. But what would you think about that fight? It's more realistic, but still probably not that realistic, right?
I would say your top two divisions are lightweight, welterweight, and welterweight there has a bunch of guys who can, well, like we've talked about before, have a bunch of guys who have a shot at the title.
Yep.
They have a reason to go for the belt. If McGregor fights a welterweight again, I would rather see him fight Diaz, maybe Masvidal. I want to see him fight somebody who is not the champ. Even though we want Usman Masvidal, I'm saying if the Usman still remains champ.
Right.
I just don't want to see McGregor go from belt to belt to belt, because then this is definitely a popularity contest now.
And right,
and UFC's just milking it for all it's worth.
Because, I mean, you know how much I love McGregor, but, I mean, the facts are facts, and he still has never defended one of his belts. So if he goes and moves around again and potentially wins, and then, hey, wants to go back down to lightweight to fight Khabib again, then he vacates welterweight, it's just, it's like, divisions are kind of pointless to me, because everybody always goes back and forth. Like you just saw Darren Till get destroyed. I'm going to go move to middleweight. John Jones rumored to go up to heavyweight. All these people want to just move back and forth where, I mean, sure you have champions, but rankings are, like we touched on, they're just so pointless, and people move around so much. It gets confusing, and then deserving people of title shots get passed up for people that are more popular. And obviously Conor McGregor can pretty much get any fight he wants. But I'll ask you the same question I did before. If you were a betting man, what would you think McGregor's next fight is? Is it Diaz 3? I know that you're really interested in that fight. Does he just sit out and wait for Gaethje and Khabib to fight and get the winner of that? Dustin Poirier, Tony Ferguson, any other fights interest you? And what would you put your money on?
Before this week, I would have said definitely it was Diaz. But now I'm seeing Diaz and Masvidal too. They want to run it back, which I definitely want to see. It was an exciting, the first fight wasn't exciting. Hopefully they do it somewhere where the doctor
won't
doesn't
stop it.
Call it.
Yeah. Douchebag.
Yeah. But for McGregor, it's tough, man. Because you want him to be the ultimate needle pusher, which he is. He brings in the most ticket sales. But if he eats a bad loss, like a Khabib loss to someone else who's not undefeated, like if he loses to Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje, and gets like destroyed, then that hype dies down. And I know there's a chance he can talk himself out, like, to the masses. I can fight. I will be your champion again, and people will believe him, and maybe you get your money back. But it's tough to say now, because, I mean, he's coming off a win off Cowboy, yes, but that was in welterweight. And Cowboy was coming off two to three losses. And you're not fighting top-of-the-line competition. You're fighting guys who are great, who have a name, but are coming off losses.
No, I agree. I mean, if I was truly trying to pick an opponent next for Conor McGregor, I would guess that I would put my money on the winner of Khabib, Gaethje. I think he fights for the lightweight championship later in the year. Or maybe even early next year, because Khabib and Gaethje are rumored to be around September time, that they agreed that both make sense for them. No date has been finalized yet, obviously. But, I mean, it's a long time waiting for McGregor, if that is the next fight that it takes place, because early in the year in his return, he said he wants to fight three times this year, and he's going to approach this year like a season. Obviously, with the whole coronavirus, it kind of threw a wrench in everyone's plans, but I mean, UFC's back and fights are being made, and he can definitely fight somebody. It'll be interesting to see what happens next with Conor McGregor, because like you said, he's the ultimate needle pusher. The goat in selling fights and pay-per-view draws. So if I really had to believe who he would fight next, I think it'll be a Khabib rematch, because I see Khabib beating Gaethje. And then Conor... Dana White has already talked about how badly he wants to set that fight up again, because he knows it'll even do better numbers than the first time, and rightfully so. So do you have any final thoughts on that or anything in the UFC world?
I'll be honest. Out of every fight, the DS3 was the only fight I showed interest in. But out of that, the only fight I really would want to see, well, everybody would want to see, is Khabib. Just a rivalry there. Hopefully it doesn't get as crazy as the last time.
No, I want it more crazy.
You want it more crazy?
I want to see someone get shanked.
Yeah, you want to see more bus windows broken and fighters get injured. But, I mean, that's the only fight I really want to see. And I just hope he doesn't get destroyed. We can't handle enough McGregor law. So I would say that.
I mean, he's coming off the win, but granted, like you said, Cerrone wasn't a top tier opponent. So we'll see what happens with him. You know what wouldn't shock me though is if he really goes back into boxing again and potentially boxes somebody else. I mean, I hope he doesn't do that, because I want him to stick to UFC and try to become a champion again. But I would bet money that he would probably box someone again in the future. Would you agree to that as well?
It's tough. I would like to see him go boxing again, but I mean, you don't fight a bigger name than Floyd.
No, right. I mean, that's it.
There's no, you're not going to get as much money as you got from the Floyd fight.
No, right. I think he got near $100 million losing that fight. Like, he won the night. Oh, man.
That's why they were hugging.
Literally, I mean, he got $100 million to lose. And granted, it's not like it was a first round where he got embarrassed. I mean, he won some rounds and held his own. He eventually got stopped. But, I mean, and going up against a pound for pound, one of the best boxers ever, and really holding your own and winning some rounds, definitely wouldn't be shocked if McGregor decides to go back. But hopefully later in his career he does that. I really want to see him just focusing on the UFC and try to win back another championship. So do you have any final thoughts on anything, Nick?
My question is, since I talked about it earlier,
what's that?
We need to bring it up. Mike Tyson's been looking.
Oh,
and gosh. I gave my guess on who we should fight, even though it was out of reach and it was my real guess. But who do you think? Mike Tyson, comeback, the biggest of all boxing names.
Oh, man.
Rivals Ali. Who should Mike Tyson fight, in your opinion?
Tyson Fury. They talked about it. I guess it went away pretty quickly, but man, that would be... I mean, Tyson Fury is named after Mike Tyson. So seeing that come around would be, I mean, I don't know. I don't think they would really try. I think it'd be more of an exhibition than someone actually trying to get killed and get knocked out. But I mean, that would be. I mean, Tyson Fury is one of the biggest names in boxing right now. And if Mike Tyson was really serious about a comeback, hey, who's bigger right now than Tyson Fury, who just beat Deontay Wilder, right?
So you're telling me we're just going to get a Rocky VI remake of Rocky Balboa versus Mason the Lion Dixon, and it's going to be Mike Tyson versus Tyson Fury? No, we're going to get another Sylvester Stallone movie, and it's Grudge Match 2, which we saw at the end credits of that movie, which is Mike Tyson versus Evander Holyfield, and it's going to sell millions.
I mean, hey, you either buy it or you'll find a way on the internet, baby. If you know, you know. We don't tell if you don't tell.
He's going to bite his other ear.
Hey, why not? They got to make a match now.
Yeah.
All right, so that'll wrap up number 10 now. Episode 10 for Nick and Frank Fighting Takes. We will see you guys next week for sure as we preview UFC 250 and probably much more fights. And beef that'll happen between fighters. Whatever is said, we will have it covered for you either on the podcast, or you can follow our Twitter page at the FNMNM podcast, at TFNMMP. So we'll see you guys either way. We'll see you next week.